To get what you want for Christmas, you have to ask the right person. Make sure you don't ask a fake Santa. Asking the right person makes all the difference in the world. A teenage girl probably wouldn't ask her little brother for an iPhone. 10-year-old boy probably would not ask his sister for the newest electronic video game. If you want a gift certificate to your favorite spa, ladies, you probably wouldn't ask the person who delivers your newspapers. And if the top of your Christmas wish list is a high-definition flat-screen TV to watch this year's Super Bowl on, guys, you probably wouldn't bother asking the college student who waits your table at the restaurant. Why? Because we all understand that to get what we want for Christmas, we have to ask the right person. It has to be someone who can deliver on the request. They have to have the right resources. Of course, you have to be on the right list, too. No, naughty or nice. But what if what you really want for Christmas can't be bought? I've reached a point in my life where I don't get very excited about things that can be put in boxes under a tree. It drives my family crazy. They say that I am the hardest person to shop for because I can't ever give them any ideas of what I really want for Christmas. I think I'm the easiest person to shop for because I tell them you can get me anything you want and I'll be happy with it. A couple of weeks ago, my two teenage daughters made me go to the Flatirons Mall and walk through it with them to give them ideas of what to get for me. Funny thing, we walked through a lot of women's clothing stores. Which I think probably betrayed their real agenda. So I ended up giving them two ideas at the mall of things that they could get for myself. The first one was body butter. True. Told them they could get me some body butter. You see, we were walking down the hallway of the mall, and this young woman came out and approached us with a tray full of samples of different fragrances of body butter. Men, you probably don't have any idea what body butter is, and if you're trying to guess, you're probably guessing wrong. It's just kind of fancy skin moisturizer. So I said to my daughters, there you go. You could get some of this for me, but just some of it without the foo-foo fragrance. I'd be happy with that. And then we walked on down the mall. We ended up in Eddie Bauer, and we walked by the aftershave and cologne section. I said, yeah, you could probably get me some of that. See how easy I am to shop for? But what if what you really want for Christmas can't be bought? What if it can't be put in a box? You can't put it under a Christmas tree. You know, when Deb Haber called me to let me know about Tom's dad and asked if I would fill in, I was on the turnpike driving between Boulder and my home in Superior, and I said, sure, I'd love to do that. And when I hung up, I immediately said, oh, if I had a chance to preach a Christmas sermon, I know just what I'd say. I know what I'd love to talk about. Let me tell you what I really want for Christmas. I want my children to grow up and get married and have their own children in a world that isn't like the world in 2007. I want them to grow old in a world that doesn't headline young adults getting shot in a missionary training center, or a mass murder in a mall, or a mass killing of people coming out of a sanctuary of a church. That's what I want. I think I'd just about give anything for that. I want my children to grow up and live in a world that doesn't feature car bombers and suicide bombers and renegade nations who are building nuclear weapons to use against us or to sell to the highest bidder who will use them against us. I want my children to live in a world that isn't filled with conflict and strife and broken relationships and homes up and down this street of the neighborhood in which they live. That's what I want for Christmas. Is that too much to ask? Depends on whom you ask. I can't give my children that kind of a world for Christmas. I don't have the resources. I don't have that kind of power or authority. Because you see, what I really want for Christmas is peace on earth. And I want that more than anything that anyone in this room could ever give me. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we open your word this morning, we open our hearts to whatever you would say to us. We give ourselves to you and to your plans and purposes for our lives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Let's read this part of the Christmas story that's found in Luke chapter 2. I think we probably have it up here. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to invite you to read this along with me. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly they appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Peace on earth. We sing it in our Christmas carols. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, when angels bending near the earth touched their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill toward men. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Is it really possible? Or did the angels not know what they were talking about? I mean, they're not from around here, right? So maybe they just didn't know better. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. What if peace on earth is possible? I mean, what if the angels knew what they were talking about? Well, let's start here. Let's start with this. Who could give us peace on the earth? Who could do that? God. To my knowledge, he's the only one who could. So, if we ask God for peace on the earth, at least we're asking the right person. And that's important. But does God want to give us peace on earth? It seems to me that that would be important too. But what if he does? What if he really does want to bring peace to the earth? I mean, what if that is what Christmas is all about? What if that's the reason that God stepped into the stream of humanity and became one of us in Jesus, born in the stable in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago? I mean, as I read it, that's the Christmas message. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. I mean, I think we're on the right track here. If what we really want is peace on the earth, the right person to ask is God. Well, let me make this personal for you. I'm going to invade your space a little bit. Can you believe that in Christ, God wants to bring peace to you? Can you believe that he wants to bring peace to your marriage? To your family? To your neighborhood? To your school? The Middle East? Africa? That he wants to bring peace to the world? I hope you can believe that, because he does. He does. So if you're like me and peace on earth is what you really want for Christmas, then God is the right one to ask. That's good news. We know whom to ask. It's even better news to know that he can do it. He could deliver that. And the best news of all is that he wants to. He wants to bring peace on earth. In fact, he has a plan for doing it. And in fact, Christmas is at the heart of that plan. You may be thinking at this point, wait a minute, there must be a catch here. I mean, there must be some kind of a hidden condition, right? Something that we don't know about until we read the fine print. Well, there is a condition, but it isn't in the fine print. It's written here plainly for anyone to see. At the very beginning of this message, I said that if you want to get your wish for Christmas, first of all, it's important that you ask the right person. And then I said, half jokingly, it's also important for you to be on the right list. But it isn't the naughty and nice list. Let's revisit this. Listen again to what the angels actually said. Sometimes we just skip over them. We just like to sing the songs. And we just have learned them and memorized them, and they just roll off of our tongues, but they don't necessarily engage our minds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. There it is. Peace on earth is God's gift to those with whom he is pleased. So if there's a list, that's the one you want to be on. Those who are pleasing to God. That's it. So what does it mean to be a man or a woman or a girl or a boy with whom God is pleased? I don't think there's a big mystery here. And not to go academic on you all of a sudden, but the word in Luke chapter 2 that is translated pleased is found in the very next chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3 in the baptism of Jesus. So there, Jesus is at the Jordan River with John the Baptist, and he's baptized in the water. And as he is, this, the voice of God speaks from heaven and says to Jesus, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." There it is. There's that word again. God is pleased with everything about Jesus. Every facet of his life was pleasing to God. Don't miss this, because I think this is the most important point of this morning. God is pleased with us when we live our lives in relationship with Christ, his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Let me say that again. God is pleased with us when we live our lives in relationship with Christ, with whom he is well pleased. He is pleased when we align everything in our lives with Christ. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our affections, all of our resources, our life commitments, our hopes, our dreams, our plans, our aspirations. Everything about us becomes aligned with Christ. That's when God is pleased, because he's well pleased with Christ. There are two parts to the angel's message in Luke 2. And they're woven together into a single fabric. The first part is here. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Now here's this great news. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I mean, those are the tidings that cause the angels to break out in song. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. And here's the outcome, the intended result of this wonderful news, these tidings of great joy. God is glorified in the highest, and peace on earth becomes a real possibility. Now, if you aren't really familiar with the Bible, this idea of peace on earth, Hallmark didn't come up with that. Even though you see it on their cards. This comes to us from the lips of angels. I mean, though it staggers our imagination, though we have no words that can bear the weight of this, that can scale the heights or plumb the depths of this, the claim of the New Testament is that in Jesus of Nazareth, this baby born in this stable in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe has drawn so close to us that he's become one of us. He is so intimately involved in the human condition that he made it his own. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. In Jesus of Nazareth, we see God focused in humanity. He's the Savior, Christ the Lord. It's his coming that brings glory to God in the highest and brings the possibility of peace on the earth. Peace for you and me. Peace in our homes. Peace in our nation. Peace in the world. Can you believe that? At the end of days, when Christ returns and God's kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, when that day comes, then peace will be universal. Peace on the earth. Because Christ's reign on the earth will be universal. The Bible says that a day will come in when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the rightful Lord of the world. As we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and as we sing in Handel's Messiah, and I did at another church, at a Christmas concert earlier this last week, we ended by singing from Handel's Messiah. But it comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. The day will come when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Doesn't it make you want to sing? And he shall reign forever and ever. My heart longs for that day. My heart yearns to see Christ take that exalted place in the eyes and on the lips of all the peoples and nations of the world. Oh, that'll be the best Christmas when we celebrate then. But even now, when we receive Christ as our Savior and as the Lord of our lives, his peace begins with us. Oh, we experience peace with God. God and sinner reconciled. We also come to know that incredible experience of the peace of God that passes all understanding. Even in the midst of this fallen world and this broken phase of human history, we can still experience that peace of God. In fact, I would imagine that Tom and Lucy this week have experienced something of that peace, even in the midst of mourning the loss of someone close to them. And I would bet that there are a lot of people in this room who know exactly what I'm talking about, who've experienced that incredible peace of God that passes all understanding. The more we align our lives with Christ, and then the more people who do that, the more the peace of Christ spreads to others and then can actually make a difference in the world today. Can happen. Christmas, you see, is the centerpiece of a strategy, God's strategy to bring peace to the earth. That's what I want for Christmas. That's what I want. That would be the best Christmas gift that anyone could ever give, better than any Christmas gift I could imagine. To see more and more people embrace Christ as their Savior and their Lord and come to know his peace and become agents of his peace as we await his coming, that glorious day when peace will fill the earth. Would you pray with me? This would be a good time for our heads to be bowed and our hearts to be open to the Lord. You know, my prayer for you this Christmas is that you will know this incredible peace, this wonderful gift of Christmas, because you know this Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't know this peace and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, please don't leave this room without taking steps in that direction. And there are people here in our congregation who would love to meet with you at the front of this room and pray with you and help you. And if you came with someone, I'm sure that they would be glad to wait. Because this is the most significant thing that could ever happen in your life. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and these words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Oh, you know those words well. You've sung them so many times, but they've become hollow. They've become empty words. Well, at some point in their life, they had meaning for you, and they made a difference in your life. But mostly, that's just a memory, and it's becoming more and more distant. Somewhere along the way, you started moving in a different direction, away from Christ. I have two words for you this morning. Come back. Come back. Christ is a Savior. It's his job. He loves to save people from sins. He loves to forgive sins and to restore fellowship with himself. And I would just ask you this morning, don't leave this room. Please don't leave this room without taking steps in that direction. Whether you say it in your heart or better yet, even on your lips. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Please take me back. And he will. He loves to do that. Lord God, I pray that this would be a time of when your grace is at work in all of our hearts, all of our lives. And that we would come to remind you more and more of your Son as you change us from the inside out. Would you come even this morning and speak into each one of our hearts, each one of our lives, and make those changes that only you can bring. In Christ's name and for his sake, for the sake of peace on this earth. Amen.